two kind of people God specializes in helping. Number one, people who are victims of circumstances beyond their control. A lot of little children growing up nowadays, they're just in bad circumstances.
Amen.
There's not one thing they can do about it.
Right.
I'm glad God will help them.
Yes.
He'll reach for them. He'll look for them. He'll seek for them. He'll save them. God likes to help those who are victims of circumstances beyond their control. And then He also helps those who are victims of circumstances caused by their own bad choices.
Glory.
They're victims because they chose to be. They just didn't expect it to turn out like it did. But God's so good, amen, even if you just ran back and did it, and you knew you shouldn't have done it, and you did it anyway, God still helped you.
Yeah.
How good is that?
Yeah, glory.
We probably got both kinds in here.
Yeah.
Turn with the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 2. Appreciate you being here this evening. You know, the Bible said that God sent His Word and healed them. And the first time I got to come back to church, you know, after I blew my knee out, was Christmas Day. And ever since then, I've been getting better.
Amen.
You can call that coincidence if you want to, but I think it just helped sit under.
Yeah.
I was watching on the computer every time the internet was strong enough signal that it could, but that's not the same as being here.
Right.
And if you're looking for help, amen, you'll find it.
Yes.
Amen.
I may say some more about that in the message. But chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house." You know, when Jesus gets in the house, there ought to be some noise. There'll be noise in the house, and there'll be noise when you leave.
Amen.
It was noise that he was in the house. You know, you need to find out where Jesus is. Oh, somebody said he's everywhere. Yeah, I understand that doctrine, but I've been a bunch of places that I couldn't find him. He might have been there, but if he was hiding.
Yeah.
I heard Brother Wood say one time, you know, people are always quoting that verse, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." He said, "I've been where there's 200 or 300 gathered together in his name." He was nowhere around.
Yeah. Right.
Just because you claim the verse don't mean it's going to happen.
Right.
True.
Yeah, you get 200 or 300, you know, whoremongers gathered together in his name, he will show up.
Right.
What would he show up there for? 200 or 300 liars, and cheaters, and thieves, and hypocrites, and scoundrels. You can claim that verse all you want to. I know a whole bunch of little bitty dead country churches that God hadn't been there in 20 years.
Right.
But they cling to that verse as long as they got 2 or 3 people coming. Okay, don't get discouraged on me. I'm just telling you the way it is. You need to find out where Jesus is and then get there yourself.
Right.
It was noise abroad. It was noise that he was in the house. Word got out. Hey, Jesus is down there in that house. And you know what we've been hearing? We've been hearing miracles have been performed and people have been healed and the deaf can hear and the dumb can speak and the blind can see and the lepers have been cleansed and he's down there in the house right now.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if I found out he was in the house here in Houston, I'd feel my crutches hobbling on over. You say you believe in healing? I believe Jesus is there.
Amen.
I don't know if it's been him.
Right.
Mark says he couldn't cure a ham. You need to find out where Jesus is, and you need to get there yourself, and then you need to do everything you can to get somebody else there, because if Jesus is there, he'll help somebody. You know, he could totally change somebody's life right here tonight.
Right.
I mean, just totally change somebody's life. Right here tonight. Get you over all that's been plaguing you for the last however many years.
Yes.
How's that sound? You know what the number one plague is nowadays? Yourself. We'd like to get the victory over that one.
Yeah.
You talk about black plague. He's in the house. Verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door, and preach the word unto them. Word got out that Jesus was in the house, and when the word got out, the people got to believing that he's going to be in the house. They started showing up. Wherever he went, they started showing up. They didn't care if it was a Baptist house or a Methodist house, amen, or a Whiskeypalian house. They didn't care. They didn't care. If Jesus is there, they didn't care what name was on it. Because they wasn't going to see what that church believed, they're going to hear Jesus.
Amen.
To hear and preach the word. Wouldn't you like to hear one sermon?
Oh, yeah.
Preached by the Lord.
Yeah.
I'd probably do something for you. I got to thinking about how many people, I don't know how big the house was, how many people were in the house, but somehow it was noise and people heard that he was going to be there. And because of that, many people came and crowded into that house just to see him and hear him and be in the same house with him. But I also thought about this. No matter how many came and crowded and got into the house, there were probably many times more that did not come.
Right.
For one reason or another.
Right.
Can you imagine having a need and somebody telling you, Jesus is in that house right over there. Nah, he can't do nothing for me. You know, that's what keeps a lot of people from coming to church. They believe that even if they came, nothing would happen to them.
Right.
Then there's people who come all the time and nothing happens to them. So for the people that are here tonight, there are many thousands of times more people and have something else on their mind tonight than getting where Jesus is. And verse 3 says, they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four. They find this helpless guy. Who's unable to do anything about his condition. He's probably already tried everybody's home remedy. Oh, yeah. Right. Did you know if you got a problem, everybody knows how to cure it?
Yeah,
you need to drink a quart of olive oil. Breathe this marijuana smoke, that'll help you. Everybody's got a home remedy. And you don't know who to believe.
True.
What you need is Herbalife. What you need is less red meat and more salad. Have you ever noticed how unhealthy those people look? I mean, he'd already tried everybody's home remedy. He might have eaten medicine, doctors, and neurologists, and psychologists, and they'll tell him what all. I see him poking him. Can you feel this? Can you feel this? What about this? What about this? Give me your foot. Can you feel that? Yeah, well, you got the palsy. Really? I delight in going to the doctor, and they say, okay, what can I do for you? What's the problem? I said, well, you're the doctor, you tell me. They want you to tell them what's wrong with you so they can just write you a prescription. No, how about you tell me what's wrong with me? It didn't take them long to figure out what's wrong with me, I'll tell you that. That doctor speaks over and said, yep, I know what you did. He said, here, put your hand over here and put your hand over here. Feel these two knees and tell me what's the difference. I said, one of them is hard and the other feels like jello. He said, that jello one is a ruptured patella tendon. He said, there's nothing there to hold that leg together. I didn't have to tell him what was wrong. He figured it out. Now, it says, this one that was sick of the palsy was born of four. He was a helpless man that whatever he had tried had not helped him one bit. I expected every Sunday we have people that come into this church building who have tried many things that has not helped them one bit spiritually. They've probably tried several different churches, several different denominations, several different religious philosophies. They've probably watched somebody on television looking, searching, until they finally give up and say it's all just a scam. All they care about is people's money. And they get convinced that this whole religion thing is just a bunch of hypocrisy. And they give up because they never get in the house where Jesus is.
Right.
They hear people talk about him. They hear people sing about him. But he never shows up. Oh, Lord, help us in this new year.
Amen.
To swing the door open and say, yeah. Come in, Lord Jesus. Yeah. We want you in the house.
Yeah.
will not get any help. Not any real help. Not any lasting help.
Well, we must feel better, be encouraged.
You may get a blessing here and there, but I'm talking about getting help. We're not going to get the help that we need till He is here.
Yeah. Right.
And we live in a city that has many people who are helpless.
Right. Yep.
Millions. They got that hole in their heart, and some of them are trying to fill it with money. They're working from can to can to try to make money to fill that emptiness in their heart. But you know, the more they make, the more they want. It's never enough. When did you ever see a rich man that didn't want to make some more money? So they try money. Some of them try family. And they spend their younger years with their children, thinking if they'll spend quality time with their children, that they'll turn out all right. And then to their dismay, the kids grow up, become weed heads and drunks and all kinds of stuff. Jailbirds, and all their dreams go right down the toilet because it didn't work out like they thought it was supposed to. So, well, what are people like that going to do? I'll tell you what they need to do. They need to find out where Jesus is and get there.
Yes.
And you need to be looking for those people that are like that and encouraging them to get here. The only one that can help them, the only one that can really help them is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You may think this person helps you, and that person helps you, and this church helps you, and that church helps you, but I tell you, if they did, it's because the Lord Jesus showed up.
Right.
This guy was helpless. But thank God he had some helpers. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Let me ask you this. The ceiling tiles started falling in tonight, and sheet metal, and insulation, in your little church here. You think that might disturb you a little bit?
Sure.
And these four nuts have a guy in a bed and they're letting him down with a rope right down in the middle of the church. You think you might be saying, how much is that going to cost?
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys had so much faith that Jesus Christ would help this guy. They didn't care. They didn't care what it cost. They didn't care. Besides, was always bringing those ghetto kids to this church when we were over on Bevis Street at 21st in the Heights.
Yeah.
And I mean, those kids were totally out of control, kicking holes in the sheetrock, flushing combs and brushes and all kinds of things down the toilets. Because they thought it was funny. I mean, they hadn't seen a toilet that actually worked in a long time. They just like watching the water swirl. What do I have to do with this in there? Oh, it quit swirling. I remember one time here, you know, taking a toilet out in the parking lot and couldn't get it to flush, couldn't fish it out with a, you know, one of the things that you're supposed to use to unstop it. I unbolted it, took it out in the parking lot, it had a pair of blue jeans in it. Some little boy flushed his blue jeans down the toilet. How did Mama not notice that?
Right.
You're creative, little rascal. Hope we don't have a rash of that. These guys were going to overcome whatever obstacles were there to get this helpless man to Jesus Christ. Because they believed if we could get him to Jesus, Jesus will help him.
Yeah.
When's the last time you just really knew if you could get somebody here, they'd get some help? I'm saying the reality that we don't get more people here indicates our own unbelief. Because we really believe they'd get help. I used to hear Brother Wood tell people all the time, we'd be out on visitation or something, and he'd say, if you'll come to 6 services in a row, if God doesn't do something for you, I'll never bother you again. He believed that they'd get here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, 6 services in a row. They'd either get right with God or get saved, or they just didn't care and they'd get gone.
Amen.
And I saw that help people a lot of times. He believed if they'd come, Jesus would show up and they'd get some help. So they were not going to let these obstacles, all these people couldn't get in the house. They just climbed up on the roof with this guy. That had to be a lot of trouble. And it said they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Do you suppose whatever was going on, since Jesus was preaching the word to him, do you suppose the atmosphere changed when this guy was let down through the roof? You didn't think the service was affected any by that? I bet those real religious people were just aghast. Who's doing this? The Master speaks. And they've interrupted him. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's wrong with the non-denominational, charismatic, Pentecostal crowd. They'll tell you if you want to get healed, all you got to do is believe. And if you have enough faith, God will heal you. And so if you don't get healed, they can just blame it on you and say you didn't have enough faith.
Yeah, right.
But that's one of the things I love about this story. Amen. Yeah. The guy laying in the bed, he didn't even have to have faith. Jesus saw their faith. These 4 guys that brought him, he saw their faith. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You said, you can't do that. He got to believe. Well, I expect he believed it when the Lord said it. Don't you? Amen. I think what we do is we get things in the order we want them in. We get it lined out like we think it ought to be. And then when the Lord Jesus does something that doesn't line up with it, we say, I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. He forgave this man's sins. Let me ask you this. Can he do that if he wants to? Oh yeah, he didn't have any problem with that. So, what's going to happen now that his sins are forgiven? But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why would this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? These are the critics. The hinderers to God working in any given service of any church, more than likely you're going to have somebody there that if Jesus really does something, they're going to have something critical to say about it.
Yeah.
I wonder if that'll last. Wonder how many times they've done that before. And these guys were reasoning in their hearts. They had it all figured out. You know what? You don't have the Lord all figured out.
Right.
You don't. I don't. You don't. Nobody else does. Nobody has Him all figured out. And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk"? You see, which one's easier? "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.'" He said, "You boys don't like me forgiving his sins? Well, let me show you another one. Amen. Hey, just get your bed and carry it home. Amen. And shout for victory."
Yeah.
Amen.
And let this bunch of critics know, amen, that you got help from the Lord, because the Lord is merciful and the Lord is good and the Lord is gracious and the Lord is kind and the Lord is in the helping business. And if you're here tonight and you got a need and it needs some help, He'll help you. Verse 12. You know, these four guys that brought him had to work together. You know, it's hard to get four people to let ropes down at the same speed. You got one guy that wants to be real careful. You got another guy that was supposed to get it over with because his hands are getting tired.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, the bed's like this and the paralyzed guy's rolling out. I don't know who was in charge of this four-man crew, amen, but they sure knew how to get things done, to get these four guys to work together in unity and in harmony. It's hard to get four people on the same page to do anything. And evidently they all four knew where Jesus was.
Yeah.
Or they'd have been arguing, they'd have never gotten there. They'd all argued about, "No, I don't think he's over there, he's over here." "Yeah, but how do we get there?" "Well, we go down here, we go left, we go..." "No, you don't go left, you go right." You ever ask somebody how to get somewhere in front of somebody else? Whoever you ask will not get the answer to it. Somebody that was just listening in will tell you all about it. Can I give you some counsel that I'm sure won't matter to you? If you're standing in a crowd of people and somebody asks somebody else a question, give them a chance to answer it first. Keep your mouth shut, even if you know the answer. "Well, that's good preaching if I am doing it. Amen. I'm sick and tired of people butting me in, amen, telling everything they know, and a whole bunch that they don't know."
Right. Yeah.
I remember one time a guy's car broke down in the parking lot at the East River Baptist Church. We had a mechanic in the church. He'd been a mechanic for many years. He was certified in everything you can get certified in, just about, amen. And he went out there and raised the hood, and he's in there looking around, and then a guy walks up, he hadn't even looked in there, and he said, "Yeah, my uncle had a car just like this. I'll tell you what it is." He started telling him what's wrong with it. And to that mechanic's credit, he just kept looking in there. He figured it out, said, "Oh, I see what the problem is. Here's what the problem is." And it wasn't what Mr. Blowhard said it was. That his uncle had a car just like that. Well, you know what? Your uncle might have had a car just like that, but it may not break down the same way every time in every model.
Yeah.
I mean, a mechanic's got his head under the hood. Best thing to do is keep the mouth shut and let the mechanic look at it.
Yeah.
The be like me telling my surgeon, look, here's what I want you to do. When you cut that open and get in there, I want you to do this and this and this. And he'll tell you, yeah, we got right. These guys were together, and they were determined. There's a lot of people that want to do something for the Lord, but they're not very determined. They'll try something, and then the first big obstacle that comes up, they'll say, oh, well, I guess not. God's not in this, because there's no way. There's no way to overcome this. The door's closed. You know what the Bible says? That God closes the door, no man can open it. And so the door's closed, I can't do it. Hey, how about a little determination?
Yeah.
When everybody else is giving up and discouraged and don't want to go on, wants to quit, amen, you just, amen, lift up your head, lift up your voice and say, by the grace of God, here we go, let's just get this done, amen. You do this, you do this, you do this, let's get this guy down there where Jesus is.
Amen.
Let's work together on this thing. Let's get the job done. So what if the house is full? So what if the roof is new? You've got to be determined. And if you're going to accomplish anything for God, you might have to be willing to take a detour.
Right.
They went there expecting, no doubt, to just carry this man right in the door. You know, the easy way. Just ask somebody to hold the door open. Thank you. We appreciate it. Walk in there. But this guy needs some help, Lord. That's not going to work, boys. We can't even get him in the door. What are we going to do? Well, I don't see anybody on the roof. What? Let's just go through the roof. You're serious. Yeah, I'm serious. That's the only way I see to get him in there. Unless you've got a shovel, we might could tunnel under. I don't have a shovel, but we could rip that roof off. Well, I guess that'd be an easier way. Couldn't we just wait till the service is over? No, man, he's in there now. That power would be surging in there now. Let's get him in there. Let's get him in there. Let's get him in there. Let's do whatever. Let's take a detour. Instead of going through the door, let's slip on the roof. Let this guy down. Get him in there where the Lord's at, where he can get some help.
Yeah.
Amen. You ought to be thankful for whoever went to the trouble to get you to Jesus.
Yeah, man.
You, some of you were hard cases.
Yeah.
And somebody was just determined enough, they were willing to take whatever detours were necessary to get you to the Lord. I'm glad I ran into a couple of guys like that.
Yeah.
Did you know if you're going to get something done for the Lord, you might have to tear something up?
Right.
We want everything to be nice and smooth and easy and, you know, just flowing. Yep, the Lord's in this because, man, there's liberty.
Yep.
There's blessings. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, well, where do you get there and you can't even get the guy in? There ain't but one way to get him in. Let's just tear something up. Now, there's a lot of ways I guess you could look at that, but if you get people to Jesus Christ, one of the first things you're going to have to tear up is their little religious box.
Yeah.
Everybody's got one, except the atheists. And I think atheism is their religious box.
Yep.
First thing you got to do is tear up their religious box. Then you got to be wise about that, because if that's the first thing you do, they'll probably just turn you off. Be done with it. You got to be wise about it. You got to be careful about it. But sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with their family religion. That's tearing the roof off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just smooth tearing it off. And you're going to have to tear up their little box of their friends' opinions. That keeps people from coming to Jesus. But what are my friends going to think? They're going to think you're a religious fanatic. That's what they're going to think. Oh, I couldn't stand that. Well, you just have to go to hell then. Because the only way you're ever going to get to Jesus, you're going to have to get over what your friends think about you getting saved and getting in church.
Amen.
And you can expect some drama. Here they are, Harry Winkoff, let the guy down, Jesus forgives his sin, and then tells him to take up his bed and walk. And these scribes are reasoning in their hearts. Oh, this guy's blasphemous. He thinks he has the power to forgive sins. Who does he think he is? God? You can expect a little drama from religion and family. You really get born again, you really get in church, you start carrying a Bible, and you start telling your family what the Bible says, ooh, they're not going to like that very much. You're not going to win any popularity contests at the family reunion. I've been there and done that. I was 19 years old, stood on a picnic table. They asked me to give a little devotion at our family reunion because they'd heard I'd got called to preach. 19 years old. I just stood up on this concrete picnic table and just quoted John 14:6 and just let her rip for about 30 minutes while the food got cold. They were all upset. One of them said, I thought you were going to give a devotion. I said, I did, only with 30 minutes. If I'd have been preaching, I'd have went an hour and a half. Unless I was crippled up. You can expect some drama from your family. You're going to find out they like dope smokers better than they do Bible thumpers. They like cussers better than they do scripture quoters.
Right.
You can expect some drama. But you know what else you can expect if you'll get where Jesus is? You can expect Jesus to do his part. Did you see how willing he was to help this guy? How quick he was to help this guy? How complete he was in his help for this guy? That ought to give somebody some hope here tonight. That ought to give somebody a little encouragement. Amen. Somebody ought to smile about that, that Jesus is that willing and that eager to help you no matter what your problem is.
Amen.
You lost, you're on your way to hell. He can save you like that. And your sins can be forgiven. This guy didn't even ask him to forgive his sins, as far as we can tell. Jesus just looked at them four guys and said, see what I'm going to do for you, buddy. I'm going to forgive your sins. What? What did he say? My sins are forgiven? Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Then all that criticism went on, and Jesus said, I tell you what, I'm not only going to forgive your sins, just take up your bed and go to the house, man. Leave this bunch of unbelievers behind. And you know what happened after he did that? Verse 12, and I'll be done. And immediately he arose, took up the bed. Now I'm sure some scholar knows what, you know, maybe this is a sleeping bag, maybe it was a bed roll. That's not the picture I'm getting, okay? I got a four-poster bed in my mind.
Yeah.
And I think they just watched this guy throw all that stuff up on his shoulder and head down the road. And they said, wow, look at this guy. Whatever the Lord did, he did something amazing. Immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God. What's that mean? What's that mean? They glorified God.
Amen.
You know something you don't hear that much in churches anymore, even when people are shouting? Glory to God! Glory to God!
Right.
That's Brother Brownie Rogers' favorite saying when he's praising the Lord.
Yeah.
I've heard him do it many, many times over the last 45 years. Well, glory God. Now, everybody nowadays is in, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You'll find that anywhere in the Bible.
Right.
You can find it on television. And you can find it in churches where everybody watches religious television. You don't find it in the Bible. They glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Here he goes. He goes on down the road, down to the seaside, and everybody just followed him to see what else he's going to do and hear what else he's going to say. I'm telling you, there's a world out there that's still looking for a house where Jesus is there.
Yeah.
Now, 1 week from today, we'll start our tent meeting. You know what? You know what we need to be praying? Lord, show up. In old time power and help some people. There be some of y'all that's here in this service tonight. You need help. You know you need help, but you don't have enough faith to believe that he can help you tonight. If you be here during the camp meeting, your faith might increase.
Yeah.
Hmm? You let some of these guys travel 1,000 miles to preach to you, and they pray all the way here, and they get up to preach, and the power of God gets on them, and they're saying, oh, the power of God will get on you. And you'll say, you know what? I believe if I can go to that altar, I can get some help.
Yeah.
And he'll help you. Remember? You got 11 days. Or 40 years. Whichever one you like. Would you stand and bow your head, Heavenly Father, and pray you'd help somebody tonight that's feeling real helpless? They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They don't know who to talk to about it. And I pray, Father, they'd come to this altar tonight and talk to Jesus about it and say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. Could you help me? For that sinner that's not saved, I pray, Father, that you'd save them tonight. For that Christian that has wandered far away from God, I pray, Father, that they'd find help in the Lord tonight. Even as this man with the palsy got help that he didn't even really expect to get. Help them tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Nathan?
281.
While on others thou art called.
I got to thinking about those four before we close in prayer. Mr. Courage and Mr. Courageous and Mr. Creativity, and I had another name there written down for them. 10 years ago, I preached out of this passage, and there was a couple of old people in the church, so we can't do anything to get anybody to Jesus. We can barely get to church. And about 5 years before that, I had an old man that he got up and preached on winning people to Christ, making a difference, everybody do something. And he said, when you get those credit card envelopes in the mail, those credit card offers, he said, in that credit card offer, there's a return envelope with paid postage on it. He said, just take that out of there and put a gospel track in it, put it in the mail. You don't even have to pay for the postage. Somebody will get it. And so about 3 weeks ago, my father-in-law was at the church I pastored 10 years ago, and those old people were still alive. They're almost 90. And they've been doing that for years, and the pastor said that Brother Green preached this all these years ago. And one of the supervisors of one of the credit card places called the church and asked them to tell the whoever's sending it to stop. So if you send it, send a blank track, amen, a chick track with no, I know who you are, amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for speaking to us and stirring us up and challenging us. Thank you for our pastor. Lord, it sure is a blessing to hear him preach. We've missed him. Bless camp meeting, Father, and I pray that you, Lord, protect all those traveling in. God, I pray that you give us good weather next week.